Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And last time we were together, we took note that God has made us trophies of His grace. I trust that that image has remained in your mind as you think about the tremendous work of grace that God has done in your life and in my life, and how God has put you and I on display that people might know Him and know His grace and see the exceeding riches of His grace. In our text in Ephesians chapter 2, we come to three verses that are very, very familiar to many of us. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. I want to read the entire passage, verses 1 through 10, just to give us our background. As we do, I just want to remind you to take note that it begins with describing our life apart from God. We are dead in our sins. We are dominated by the world, the flesh, the devil, and we are damned and headed to judgment and to face the anger of God. That's what it's like to be apart from God. So follow along with me. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 in Ephesians chapter 2. "And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Anytime we talk about the grace of God, I find myself overwhelmed with the incredible thought of who I am and how I have benefited from the grace of God. As we look at a very familiar passage of Scripture, the temptation is this, and I want to challenge you with this. The temptation is to say, "I've seen this and heard this before. I know what this means, and so I check out." And even as I study and I come across familiar passages of Scripture, I face that very temptation. But I want to challenge you with something. When was the last time you allowed yourself to be overwhelmed by the grace of God in your life? What does that mean? How do I do that? I want you to really think about what you've done in your life to deserve the love of God. I want you to think about the things that have happened in your life and the fact that you are still here and alive. You trace that back to the hand of God's grace in your life. Think about the very fact that you are here today. Speaks to the fact that God's grace is at work in your life, and he wants you to hear him. He's going to speak to you today from his word that's in our language and been preserved for us by his grace. The passage we're looking at today is a passage that reminds the believer of the state that we are in as Christians. We start out with Paul reminding us of man's greatest need. And that is, we need life because we're dead. We need life. In this passage, in verse 8, you see, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now, I want to make sure you understand something. That word "saved," what does that mean? I dare say if you go out into the world, in the marketplace, in the store or whatever, and you go up to somebody and you say, "You need to be saved," you're going to get a strange look. They're going to look around for something that's going to fall on them. What does that mean? Maybe you don't understand what it means to be saved. The Apostle Paul here is writing, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Indeed, a way that I like to translate this as I studied it, "For by grace are you the ones that have been saved through faith." And what Paul is doing, remember, is writing to believers, people that have trusted in Jesus Christ, and he is reminding them of the blessings of God, chapter 1. He's reminding them of where they once were, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And he's reminding them of all that God has done through Christ, chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. He's reminding them of the grace that has brought them to the point where they can say, "I'm saved. I'm saved." Well, as we think about salvation, I want you to think about man's greatest need, your need. Paul said in the beginning of this chapter, "You're dead in your trespasses and sin." We need life. And so, therefore, salvation, to be saved, is that of taking us from death to life. We are saved from eternal separation from God, and we are given eternal life with him forever. "For by grace are you the ones that have been saved through faith." So salvation is deliverance from death to life. Salvation is also deliverance by grace through faith. And this is a very core doctrine or teaching of the Scriptures. Salvation is by grace through faith. That word "through" is a channel. It's describing the channel of an act. Through faith. Now, as we look at the remaining part of this verse, it helps us understand what that means, because Paul takes this and he says, "And that," by grace you are saved through faith, "that is not of yourselves, and it is not of works." He gives us two things to look at. Two things. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, and it's not of works. This is very defining, because we live in a world that is very self-focused and works-oriented. Let's face it, we like to be in control, don't we? We naturally do. We like to be in control. And Paul, he's writing to believers in Ephesus. Do we know anything about Ephesus? I had to look up a little bit and learn a little bit myself about Ephesus. But you know that Ephesus was considered at this time to be probably the second largest city in the Roman Empire. Hundreds of thousands of people lived here. They had the Temple of Artemis or Diana that was one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. This was a hopping metropolis. Much wealth was in this place. You were from Ephesus, you were somebody. And now the gospel has penetrated those walls and those streets and homes, and you now have believers walking that place, and they're living in the midst of an evil society. A society that's full of quote-unquote dead men. People that know not God. People that were dominated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. It was all at their fingertips. People that were headed to judgment by God. And you know, these people that just got saved and heard the gospel, that's the way they were. And they knew that and they understood that. And Paul's helping them to realize and rejoice in their salvation. And he's reminding them it's by the very grace of God that you have been saved. And it's through faith. It's not of yourselves. And what does he say in conjunction with that? He says, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Think about that for a minute. He takes away from this from us our own ability, and he replaces it with God's gift. That's hard to take sometimes, isn't it? It's not about what we are doing. It's the gift of God. That takes faith, doesn't it? For us to do things on ourselves, it doesn't take faith. Faith is trusting in something that you're not seeing or someone you're not seeing. I mean, one of the most common illustrations of faith is the chair, right? You know, you come up to a chair, and very rarely have I seen people examine the chair before they sit down. Sometimes it would benefit us to do that, but, you know, we have this chair, and the illustration is this, that I sit on the chair. Oh, I sit on the chair, and that's faith. I'm trusting this to hold me up. Now, I didn't inspect every joint. It could be just sitting here looks like a chair, right? But let me illustrate something a little bit further with the chair, okay? Here's the chair, and is this faith? I'm on the chair. But I'm kind of holding myself up, right? I'm helping. This isn't faith. And see, what God wants us to get is he wants to remove us from the equation, because as you look at the book of Ephesians, you will see, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, all the way down to where we are, God is the one who's doing the acting. Anytime that you see us as a subject of the verb, it's either passive, which means we are being acted upon, or it is a response that we are having to something God is doing in our lives. You see, Christianity is not about us, it's about God. It's not about what we are doing or have done. It is about what God has done and is doing in our lives. That's what he means here when he says, for by grace are you the ones that have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And that word gift, it's the same word that's used when the wise men brought gifts to Jesus. It's thoroughly something that is undeserved. It's just given. And he's talking to people that have been saved. You today, if you've been saved, think about this. The grace of God that has been evident in your life, it's a gift. It's not about you, and it's not about works. So, it's not of yourselves, it's a gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if you think about works, and if you think about trying to just earn your way to God, whatever that means, if you try to gain a place in heaven, and I want you to know that is the common belief among most religions out there today. It's based on them. What that opens up is that opens up the opportunity for discrimination, because everybody's starting at a different rung in the ladder. It opens up comparing and contrasting one another. I've given this much money, and I've attended this church, and I've taught this many classes, and I'm up here. And you've only given this much, and you've only attended this long. Those are just some of the common things. But you know, well, that just opens up a whole mess of man-centeredness. That's not a part of salvation. For by grace are you the ones that have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, and it's not of works. Let's face it. If I could earn my way to God, I'd tell you about it. I'd tell you the way. I'd tell you to follow my footsteps. I got it all together. I know the secret. You know, that becomes a me-centered, man-centered type of religion. And God, in his infinite wisdom, he knows how we think and how man would try to skew things. And so what he did was he removed man out of the equation, and God does the work. And it's for by grace are you saved through faith. So notice, we've removed ourselves, removed our works. What we're left is faith. We've got to believe in God. Believe in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the forgiveness of sins comes through his shed blood. We need to believe the gospel, the word of God. For indeed, it says in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Dear ones, listen. Christianity is based upon faith. It's based upon believing in a God that you cannot see or touch, and believing in Jesus Christ who died on a cross over 2,000 years ago, and believing that what he did on that cross was sufficient to satisfy God's wrath against your sin today, and the sin that you committed in the past and in the future. It's believing that what God's word says is true. That demands of us faith. So we need deliverance, death to life. And this deliverance is by grace through faith. But you know what? We've been saved for a purpose or for a direction. And that is found in verse 10 where we see this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Salvation is deliverance to walk in good works. Notice salvation is not provided by walking in good works. Salvation points out to us all that God has for us to live in a way that's pleasing to him. Now look at this verse specifically. For we are his workmanship. That is a term that means to be a God's craftsmanship, that which God has made and crafted and put together. And it is, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is important. As a believer, when you are saved, God has designed salvation and being a Christian not just to be some way of staying out of hell, but it's more than that. It is living a life that exhibits the very glory of God so that others might know him too. Here's the question. Have I taken seriously this call upon my life as a believer to live in these good works? You see in this text that God has prepared them beforehand, that we are to walk in them, that we are to travel down that road of all that God has prepared for us. And the exciting thing is that they might look differently for each of us. But the key thing is, each of us are living in ways that are pleasing to God, and the world is affected by our lives. Indeed, it is the very grace of God that has been at work in our lives that we have seen other people living for God. Isn't it a blessing when you see people pleasing the Lord? Have you ever had someone come up to you and begin to witness to you about the Lord Jesus? What does that do to you? What is it? How does that make you? How does that affect your life? It's exciting when you can stop them and say, "Hey, thank you. What you're doing is you're sharing the greatest message of the world has ever known, and I have believed it too." Have you ever been around someone that has truly been a minister to the poor and has ministered out of their heart of love and kindness that God has given to them? And you think about how that has affected your life. You're watching them. You know what, folks? You be that kind of person. You, Christian, that is the kind of person that you need to be. Being a Christian is not just about being delivered from hell, although that is an incredible blessing. It's about living a life so that others might be delivered too. It's about living a life that brings glory to God. So here we need to think about these matters. Is my life such that brings glory to God? If this verse is true, for we are his workmanship, God has crafted us created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created in the sphere of the work of Jesus Christ to do good works. Does that characterize your life? Am I seeking to understand what God has designed for me in life? How I might best bring Him glory? Is that my life's goal? Am I searching to do that? Am I seeking to direct my children in these matters? As I study, I often will ask myself this question, and I will pray this. I'll ask God, impact my heart with these truths. Because as your pastor, it would be hypocritical for me to be declaring Sunday after Sunday all of this truth and if I'm not allowing it to affect my own heart. And I want you to know something. And this is not real deep. This is not, you know, you might sit back and say, well, that's kind of shallow. Well, here's the point. You need to be doing this. I've asked the Lord to impress upon my heart these truths. And this is what He's done. This is what He's done. He's overwhelmed me with His grace to the point where I am reminded that I am not anybody special and great except in His sight. He's reminded me that all that I am is in Christ, because of the grace of God. It's a gift that I have. He's reminded me the importance of, you know, when I live and wake up in the morning, there is a purpose for my existence beyond, outside of me, that God has designed for me to be a part of His work. Listen, as you interact with the Scriptures this morning, ask yourself, God, You've shown us grace through faith. Am I just leaning on the chair? Yeah, I'm believing, but I'm relying on me just to make sure. Is that you? You see, God has designed salvation that it's all about Him. So therefore, that leaves us with just faith. And I say just faith, it's a great thing. And even that faith comes from God. So allow this truth to make you small. And may this truth make God big. That's what we need. The Scriptures tell us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's the way this Scripture affects me. It makes me feel this big. But it reminds me that the God who holds me is infinitely large. And you know that salvation is secure. It's real. It's assured. It's designed by my God. And I want you to know it too. Do you? Do you know the grace of God? It's not of you. It's not about what you can do. It's about His gift. Have you taken the next step after salvation and lived for God? Realizing that He has designed and created works beforehand for you. I got to say something. I love watching you guys grow. I love it. It blesses my heart when you come and you share testimonies with me about what God's doing in your life. When you are living out the very works that God has already created for you, it blesses my heart and it blesses other people. Grow, Christian. Grow. Show your faith. Live for God. Because time is short. Time is short. And your friends and your family, they need to see him. And they're going to see him through your life. God, I could go on and on and on. I am just blessed, Lord, by this truth. And I want to ask that you would take it and build up your people. Grace is such a special, special gift that you've given. Salvation by grace through faith. And God, you're showing me that I can't have any. There's no crutches or anything. Salvation is all about what you have done in my for me. And it blesses my heart. Lord, I pray that you will humble us, make us small. Lord, that we might live like we are serving an infinitely large God, because you know what we are? We are. I praise you for our time together this morning. Use it. Lord, if I've been foolish with my words, may they be quickly forgotten. But I pray, God, that you'd use the scriptures to impact hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.